Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans, the only daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans and NBA as a whole, available on iTunes, on Audioboom, wherever podcasts are found. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter. Excited to be with you all here on this Monday to start the week off. Slow week for the Pelicans last week, only had two podcasts, so definitely give those a listen because there's a lot of information in there breaking down Drew Holiday's brand new contract, the $126 million over 5 years, what that means for the Pelicans. And then later in the week, talked a little bit about their cap situation and why you're hearing this team be very quiet in free agency right now. And in today's podcast, I'm going to kind of cover some of that again. Went on a little bit of a rant on Twitter over the weekend and want to show you all kind of the Pelicans' mindset and their thinking and what's really going on right now, because I know a lot of people are very frustrated with this team, as they should be, by the way. You know, this is a team that, you know, at times seems like they've wasted away tons of Anthony Davis and his prime and his years and potential and all of that. So I understand the frustration and wanting to see this team do something. But right now, patience is the name of the game, and it should be how the Pelicans are acting. I'm going to dive into that a little bit more for you guys today, as well as talk about Summer League that has tipped off in Vegas. And there's really only two guys you need to pay attention to coming out of there. And I'm going to talk about both of them, as well as maybe a surprise third guy for the Pels who might get an invite to training camp and could maybe make the roster, because this team does appear to be short on the wing position, especially because wings and free agencies are starting to dry up. So I'm going to tell you who that is as well, why you should be keeping an eye on, and recap these first two games of the Pelicans Summer League for you. So before diving into free agency and the trade market for the Pelicans and kind of rehash a little bit of something I talked about last week, they do have some news going on with the team. And the first part is going to be they're bringing in Darius Miller. And if that name sounds familiar, this was the second round pick of the Pelicans back in, 2012, whenever it was they drafted Anthony Davis and Austin Rivers in the first round. Darius Miller, former Kentucky Wildcat, was kind of their sixth man for them, played 4 years there, and then was drafted by the Pelicans after having been a teammate of Anthony Davis in that championship-winning season at Kentucky. This is an interesting story in a way, because the Pelicans gave him every opportunity in his three seasons here in New Orleans to win that starting small forward job, to be a rotation player, and like, he just couldn't do it. He wasn't good. He had flashes every now and then. He started a point guard one game because everyone else was injured for the Pels, but this was a guy they really wanted to kind of take advantage and gave every chance to, and just didn't do it. And then he played about under 10 games his third season here in New Orleans before being cut, and then went over to Europe, where he's having a good bit of success playing for Bamberg in Germany, where he has played for them in both the German League and the Eurobasket League. Think the Champions League of European basketball instead of soccer, if you will. And he shot over 40% from their three-point line there. And their three-point line is admittedly shorter than it is in the NBA, so I don't know if that'll translate. Miller was never that great of a shooter here in New Orleans, but hey, it's worth a shot on bringing a guy in. This is likely just a training camp deal for the team. Maybe a two-way contract. You can it can be for players with 4 years or fewer experience in the NBA, and I guess he counts for that. So we don't really know, though. It's likely that almost none of the money is going to be guaranteed for this upcoming season. You know, not necessarily something to be really excited about here. But it's worth noting and mentioning because it likely means Pelicans are a little bit nervous about their depth on the wing and are going to try and bring in some long shots, you know, with limited downside other than cutting the guy and only upside here that can maybe help this team out. Also worth noting, they are apparently going to be inking second-round pick Frank Jackson to a three-year deal. And this is the intriguing part of it. Rookie second-round picks on their rookie deals, I believe, are usually only 2 years. So they're signing him, maybe using part of the mid-level exception. I can't remember on the biannual exception if it's going to be, if that can be 2 or 3 years. It might be three. But likely they're going to be using part of one of the exceptions to sign him, further limiting this team in free agency and with flexibility as they get, you know, as they inch closer to hard capping themselves. And that's a perfect transition for what I want to talk about next. So I'm going to start with the Detroit Pistons. And they did something interesting over the past couple of days where they did hard cap themselves. And they're likely going to lose Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, who is a name I've been asked about a lot. And I'm just going to say right now, Pels have zero ability to sign him, more or less. This is a guy who's looking for over $20 million a year. Pels have 8.4 right now to play with, depending on this Frank Jackson contract. So I'm not going to spend time talking about him. Signing trade wouldn't work for the reasons I'm about to lay out for you guys. So because, you know, there is an actual hard cap in the NBA, it's about $125 million with the luxury tax threshold at 119, and that $6 million in between them is usually called the apron. Just so you get the terms and everything, right? So what they did was they went out and they signed Langston Galloway and to that, you know, about $7 million a year contract or so. And by doing that, gave themselves only about like $16 to $18 million until the actual hard cap to hit. So they do have room, and they're not there yet. The problem is if they wanted to sign Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and he was a restricted free agent, so say a team comes in and offers him $25 million a year, they literally do not have the cap room up until the maximum to match and retain him. And that is an issue. And they lose exceptions when you go over the tax and different things like that. So at this point, they kind of just knocked themselves out of the running where what they should have done is matched any come to a deal with Kentavious Caldwell-Pope first, then cut some salary, and then brought in Galloway. Now they can't even match unless they were to try and clear some other salary, and they don't really have a way to do that. Unfortunately, you know, they're making a deal to bring in Avery Bradley with the Celtics, and you know, I think they've said they are renouncing Caldwell-Pope's rights, and hey, he's done there, and that's because of poor cap management and trying to, you know, the order of operations to do anything against the salary cap. So they couldn't even sign him to a max deal and then trade him to another team because they don't even have the room to do so. So that rules out a sign and trade right there. And this is a situation the Pelicans are trying to avoid. And I've talked about it last week. I've talked about it on the radio a bunch down here in New Orleans as well, if you've heard any of those interviews. And part of it is, frankly, they're very limited right now. You have the mid-level exception, you have the biannual, and you have two trade exceptions. And that's more or less it. And maybe you can swing a trade that brings in, you know, more salary or something like that. But if you use the mid-level or something like that in a way that's not the taxpayer version, you actually limit yourself on what you can do further going forward. And I know people are sharing that meme of like the stick figure poking the pelican saying do something. Look, these free agents available, and I don't want to just defend this team because I've been pretty critical of them much more recently, but I'm going to defend them a little bit right here. And look, the best free agent they had been linked to was Nick Young. And if you really think Nick Young was going to be the difference between, say, making the playoffs or not making the playoffs, you're wrong. He wasn't going to be that much of a difference maker, just being a spot-up shooter, essentially, for this team, along with some of his antics and other that. Not going to make much of a difference. Supposedly, they had an agreement with him, and they might have pulled the offer sheet or something, sent him all of a sudden a weird reversal to Golden State for a contract the Pels could have offered him. But that's the biggest name they've been linked to that they might have actually signed. That's not very good. It's better to take chances on the trade market and lose out on a guy like Nick Young for a bigger shot, a bigger home run, something like that, because, you know, that's how you can really improve your team. Nick Young's not a difference maker. A guy like potentially Eric Bledsoe or Jeremy Lin, the names they've been linked to, those are. those actually might be, you know, affect the Pelicans seeding some versus a guy like Nick Young who wouldn't. The other name you've seen out there recently now going to be CJ Miles signing for basically the full mid-level exception, non-taxpayer mid-level exception, $8.4 million per season for 3 years. And it looks like it's going to be a sign-and-trade going to Toronto, though some confusion on how that's going to work out. Look, yeah, Pels could have offered him the full mid-level exception to come play down here. Thing is, he might not have had any interest. He wanted to go to the Wolves. They kind of were lacking and not moving or whatever it was with him. So he decided Toronto came in and looked like an appealing situation. One, we don't know the Pelicans made an offer to him. Two, we don't know if the Pelicans were even, or if he would have even considered the Pelicans in general. I think overall, more people have the Wolves ahead of the Pelicans right now. Most people certainly have Toronto, at least for next season, ahead of the Pelicans when it comes to rankings, things like that, especially with how tough the Western Conference is. So that's going to be part of the reason. You know, we can't be upset with the team. I always say this during, you know, the trade deadline. You can't get mad at the team for not doing a fake trade that you propose when you don't know if this was on the table or if the other team would have even considered it or picked up the phone or what have you. So, you know, look, the reason they're dragging their feet and they're not doing anything is because they don't want to limit themselves. You sign a guy like Nick Young, and you're done pretty much for the rest of free agency other than minimum guys. Even, you know, a trade is less likely to happen because you have $5.6 million less to work with. And if you're raging against the Pelicans not signing Nick Young, I don't know what to really tell you, because while he's a useful player and he'd fit on this team, it's, again, not a huge deal. He wasn't a difference maker, which is what the Pelicans still need to try and go out and acquire to really separate themselves in this Western Conference playoff race. I think, you know, the top four teams are pretty set in Golden State, Houston, San Antonio, and the Oklahoma City Thunder. And after that, those next four spots are going to be a mess of about like seven or eight teams. You have the Pelicans, the Timberwolves, who have come back a little bit on their roster is a little bit wonky. So the Pelicans, the Timberwolves, Portland, who made the playoffs last year, Memphis, Denver, the Clippers are still potentially going to be playoff worthy. The Mavericks might also kind of sneak in there as well. I'm also probably forgetting another team. So all of a sudden you have like six or seven teams that are going to be fighting for these four spots that are going to be really jumbled and close. Nick Young's not going to be a difference maker there. A guy like Eric Bledsoe or Jeremy Lin would be, and of course those are just the names we kind of heard about. Don't know if there's other names out there or whatever they're trying to work on. But at that point, you may as well kind of swing for the fences and go, you know, go big or go home if you're Dell Demps, because frankly, just getting in as a 7 or 8 seed might not be enough right now, or being competitive all year. You need someone who's almost going to kind of guarantee that you'll get in. Remember that the Locked On Podcast Network gives you the local angle on the biggest stories, but we also have a national podcast called Locked On NBA as well that gives you kind of a quick and good in-depth overview on everything going around the association as a whole. So make sure you're subscribed to the Locked On NBA podcast as well.
Daddy, where do babies come from?
Honey?
Mommy went to the store.
Oh, well, you see, there's a mommy and a daddy, right?
Right.
And see, when they call Geico, they could save a bunch of money on car insurance.
Oh, really? And that makes them happy?
Yes, that makes them very happy.
That's good.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad we could have this talk, Sunshine.
Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
Let's switch gears now to Summer League, where there's actual stuff happening when it comes to your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans. And the Pels are now 0-2 in Summer League. And again, you know, record and score and all that doesn't really matter here. And frankly, even stats and performances don't matter. Lonzo Ball for the Lakers went out and had just a stinker, I guess is maybe a good way of putting it, in his first game, and then came back with a triple-double in his second. And basically, all I want to see out of some of these guys in Summer League is that they're actually just playing well. I don't care about the numbers and things like that. But for a guy like Cheick Diallo and Quinn Cook, the two I'm going to really focus on here, you just want to see that they're not kind of like sucking and they're not stinking up the joint and they're actually just playing well. And not just playing okay, but playing well, because frankly, they should be. These are guys who played in the NBA, who are not just borderline guys in the league. They're definitely people who are going to be in a rotation next season. So they should go out and play better than the rest of the competition. And that's all I'm looking for out of these guys, to be honest. And there are pretty much delivering. Let's focus on Diallo first, who's gotten the start in the first game against the Toronto Raptors, played 34 minutes, shot 11 of 18 from the field, 5 of 5 from the line, grabbed 10 rebounds, and put up 27 points with few turnovers and not a ton of personal fouls. That's good. That's what he should be doing. You know, if I would be kind of disappointed if it was anything under 20 points, under 25 points. It just shows he's kind of coming along like we thought. This is a guy that is going to be in the rotation. He's potentially going to be the third or fourth big for the Pelicans next season. So he might actually have a bit of a large role for the team. In the second game, Diallo, again, 34 minutes, 9 of 18 from the field, 5 of 5 from the line, 10 rebounds, 23 points. Exactly what you want to be seeing out of him. He should be dominating. He was a second-round pick. He got a lot of playing time in the D League. He got, you know, a few call-ups to the NBA and played with his parent club, the Pelicans. And they look at him with a very bright future. They traded up in the second round to get him. Partially was they weren't going to carry two rookies on the roster at the time, so of course they were going to do that. But this is a guy they kind of look at as their 2017 first-round pick. He had very limited time in college at Kansas, was a project coming out, but the Pelicans really believed in him there. And that's one of the reasons why they picked him. Also, they see kind of a similar situation here with Frank Jackson. But Diallo's doing exactly what he should be doing. This is what you want to see. And I'm not going to break down his game. He's springy. He's athletic. He likes to get out and run. He has good touch. He can score at the rim. Has a decent jumper, too. So it's good to see. Another guy here, Quinn Cook. Let's look at his numbers in that first game against the Raptors, the loss. 29 minutes. He was 7 of 13 from the field, 2 of 3 from deep for 16 points and 3 assists. And this is a guy they're going to be looking at maybe as a pairing with Drew Holiday in the backcourt. Right now, they're thin at the guard position. They need some depth there. And this is a guy they see that could really kind of fill that. I can tell you internally, the Pelicans are very high on Quinn Cook. Seeing him come out and have a good performance was definitely important. In the second game, 31 minutes, 12 of 18 from the field, 1 of 5 from 3. But he did score 25 points, had 5 assists, 5 rebounds. So a good night for him overall as well, particularly in the second game where he kind of led the team. Cech Diallo got into foul trouble early on. You get like 10 or 11 fouls in summer league, but Diallo had 3 in the first quarter, so they pulled him just to kind of sit him down and kind of calm and get out of his head a little bit. And you can see one of the things I should have mentioned with Diallo is dude's got a lot of emotion, and I don't know if it's channeled in the best way yet. Supposedly after the loss to Atlanta, he just kind of sat down and was really upset for about an hour just on the floor. And it's like, that's maybe not the reaction I want to see out of a summer league game, though I like to see he's taking it seriously. But I do like that he's passionate. That can only be a good thing for this Pelicans locker room. So back to Quinn Cook. You know, this guy who can score, you can see it. He can get to the rim. He doesn't get to the line, really, but he can get to the rim a little bit. The biggest thing is he's got a very good pull-up jumper, and he can create some separation between him and his defender. It's usually going to be on a mid-range jump shot, though. That's the one concern for me, is I don't know if his three-point shot's reliable enough to be a court spacer. So you kind of would like to see him maybe running the second unit with the chemistry he's developing with Diallo, with both of them coming in with the second unit, versus him getting a lot of run with the starters, which I think might be where he ends up to start the year. I wouldn't be shocked if he was maybe in the starting backcourt alongside Drew Holiday, and they have Moore come off the bench. And they like Moore coming off the bench because he's going to give you some guaranteed offense there. So Cook might be elevated to the starters. His three-point shot hasn't been there yet, but at least he does create some separation when it comes to his mid-range jumper. So teams can sag off him to start, but if he has the ball in his hands and he starts to drive, you need to close out, get on him a little bit quicker rather than sag off and worry about a dump-off pass, something like that, to one of the bigs, because off the dribble, he can get a shot off and he can score with that mid-range jumper. It might be an 18-foot jump shot, 16, whatever. But it's a reliable enough shot that you need to stay close to him. And if you give him even just an inch or two, he's going to take it and he's likely going to score. And even if you're making, you know, mid-range jumpers, which everyone hates now, they're still decent shots. And that's something the Pelicans haven't really had. So it's certainly a good thing to see. from him. So it's going to be interesting to see how he fits and what his role will be with the team going forward. And I think as we get a little bit deeper into summer league, we're going to get maybe a clearer idea of it, with getting a real good understanding of the picture here, probably around training camp and preseason when it comes to Quinn Cook. Some quick hits when it comes to the summer league team and some of the other guys on there. One name to keep an eye out for is James Young. This is a guy who's actually been in the NBA for 3 years now, has played with the Celtics and bounced between them and the D League. This is a former Kentucky player, was drafted in the mid first round, 17 overall by the Celtics in 2014. Against Toronto in their first game, he did get a start at the guard position. He can kind of play on the wing a little bit as well. Scored 12 points on 4-9 shooting, 2-5 from 3. That's good to see. In the second game, came off of the bench, 12 minutes, 3-7, but for 9 points. So this might be a guy they look at. He's got NBA experience. He's got the pedigree and everything to have a chance to make the roster. I'm assuming he'll come to training camp and maybe be, you know, it might be a long shot to make the roster, but he's certainly going to have the opportunity to do so. He's known as a bit of a 3-point shooter. His final season in Boston was, what, last year, shot 34.3% from there. So he's got potential. Playoff shot 35.7, though it was in very, very few minutes. So sample size beware, of course. Other guys to keep an eye on. You know, I've talked about Peter Jok here and his story, the guy from Iowa, 3-point shooter and everything. He got 5 minutes in the first game, didn't score, was 0-for-2. Against Atlanta in the second game, didn't play at all. That was a bit surprising. I don't know what kind of the plan is with him. This is the first guy pretty much signed to the summer league team that we really knew about. Has a pretty incredible story. So it'd be interesting to see. I hope he gets some more minutes to just at least have the opportunity to show what he can do with this team. Also worth noting is Axel Toupin, guy who was called up by the Pels last year, has 3-and-D potential, 6'7 on the wing, and lit up the D League, I believe, at times in certain games, especially in the playoffs. Not looking good so far, and that's a worry. Like I said, these guys who are good should be playing well. For a guy like Toupin, who is a borderline NBA player at times and is, you know, stood out in the D League, him struggling in summer league like this is a bit surprising. In the first game, he was 2-of-9 from the field, 7 total points. The second game, also getting the start, 0-for-4, finished with 2 points. That's in 26 minutes. So he's getting decent time out there, above 25 minutes, 26 minutes in both these games, and isn't doing anything well at all. And that's not what you want to see. That gives me pause. I'm sure he'll still be invited to training camp. He's on an unguaranteed contract with the Pelicans. But, man, if you know, this is a guy we really wanted to see succeeding. And he should be better than some of these summer league guys who are kind of scrubs when it comes to the NBA. I mean, they'd, of course, kill you or I probably in any game. But, you know, he should be playing better than this. So it makes me wonder about his long-term potential here and his fit, not necessarily fit within New Orleans because he's got all the skills and everything. But just, you know, it's like Darius Miller where he just didn't live up to anything even though they really tried. And the Pelicans are trying and giving him the opportunity right now. And he's certainly not making the most of it. Next up for the Pelicans, they'll be playing the Nets tonight, 5 p.m. Central. Should be on ESPNU, I believe, or somewhere on one of the ESPN channels. So definitely, if you get some time, check it out. It's summer league. If not, don't worry about it. I'll probably recap the game for you guys tomorrow in the podcast, at least, you know, give you an idea of what happened in there. So that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. Don't forget, subscribe on iTunes, on Audioboom, wherever podcasts are found. Follow it on social media, at Locked On Pels on Twitter. Like it on Facebook. Please, if you get a chance, I know it sounds silly, but it does make a big difference. Rate it 5 stars on iTunes. Leave a comment. If there's anything you want me to talk about, put it in there. I check it, and I make sure that we cover these topics here for your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans and Locked On Pelicans. Want to talk about what you guys want to hear, so please let me know and rate the podcast 5 stars. So that's going to do it. Summer League game tonight. We'll talk about it tomorrow. Any other news? Maybe a trade happens. Hopefully something happens. Maybe they just get busy in free agency instead and realize the trade market's not going to work. No matter what, I'll be here to cover it for you guys. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter. I'll be back with you all tomorrow.